Hello, my name is Mitch Ressler, and welcome to Consulting the Manual, the podcast that discusses men's issues, what Scripture says about them, and how they apply to our lives today. Today, we're discussing dealing with change. I think this is an idea we can all relate to at the moment. Change is happening for everyone in a big way, and reactions are mixed. How are we supposed to tackle change, especially when it comes with extreme effects to our health, our livelihood, and our way of life? We are living through an amazing moment in history that we will all look back to as a benchmark for humanity. We will remember life before the coronavirus and try to relate it to what life will look like after it, whatever that will be. So, how do you deal with change? Thanks for checking out the podcast. You can find more info about the show at consultingthemanual.com, where all our episodes are listed, as well as some info about me, Mitch, your host. Please reach out with some episodes you'd like to hear, or maybe some comments or questions to hosting@consultingthemanual.com. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to support the podcast and help bring the best quality and content, please consider donating. Thank you to all who have given so far. This podcast only gets so far without your help. To find out how, just click the support tab at the website to set things up, either as a one-time donation or a regular one. Either way, it's a huge help, so thanks. I wanted to take a moment and take a look at change and how we deal with it, take a look at it. Stereotypically, as guys, we're not big fans of change. We like things the way we like it, and that's it. We very much creatures of habit. A lot of times guys will wake up at around the same time, eat the same kind of food for breakfast, go through the same routine, go to work, come home, do the same kind of stuff once they get from home, and then go to bed and wake up and do it again the next day. It's very much ingrained in our habit, in our life, of maintaining this kind of routine. And when something disturbs that routine, we get all out of sorts. Our day is thrown off. Our mood is changed. So when we want to take a look at if your morning routine is disturbed and the kind of reaction you've got to that, how much more are things askew right now in your routine? Right now through most of the country and through most of the world, change is rampant. The way we live life right now is not the way we were doing it, weeks ago. A lot of people are not able to go to work, or they're at work, but they have different stipulations with how they conduct themselves and how their day goes because of dealing with COVID-19. The end of last week and beginning of this week, a lot of states in the U.S. have kind of changed a little bit of their restrictions involving a different kind of stay-at-home orders or shelter-in-place orders or whatever it is that the order is for you. A lot of stuff has rolled back, so we're kind of going back into sort of a new phase of you're able to do certain things, but you're not able to do other things, and the things you are able to do, you can't do the same way you did it before. We're faced with a lot of change. This brings about a lot of uncertainty, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. Some people, take it to the extreme, and they'll, show up with, full, covered as much as possible, wash your hands, and sanitize every single chance they get, and they won't go out of the house if they absolutely have to. To people who think a lot of, COVID-19 response is blown out of proportion. The media is making it up, or their government's trying to exert some control, and so they're kind of going along their lives as if really not as much has changed. So there's different responses to how life is being lived right now. But however you are on that scale, or however your reaction is, something is different. And we have to basically kind of seal of how we react to that. As guys, we're not big fans of change. So what happens? What do we do? What kind of direction do we go to when big life events like this happen. And it's not necessarily stuff with the COVID-19 that we're dealing with, although it's a prime choice to point that as an example. But this can apply to anything. This could be applied to change in, in your growing up, whether you're going graduating school and going off to maybe college or starting a career. Could be a change in a relationship, whether it's a breakup with somebody, or even, maybe going the other way and going from just kind of dating to maybe getting married, or having a kid, or job changes, or moving from one place to another. There's a whole lot of big life event changes that we're going to come across. And some of them are our choice and some of them aren't. So what happens when that happens? Well, we take a look at the manual, right? Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." So here it kind of lays out the idea that we're going to have change in our life. Things are temporary. I mean, our lives here are temporary, but things that happen for us are only going to last for certain amounts of time. We're going to maintain certain friendships and relationships for a certain amount of time. These things have a shelf life. We're not going to be at the same jobs we're going to have for forever. We're not going to know the same people or be in the same places. There are seasons for everything and a time for everything under heaven. So there are things that we haven't experienced yet. They're going to happen for you. Whether you want to or not, there's a time for everything. So when these things happen, how do we respond? Well, we'd take a look at a lot of some instances of change in the Bible. And when I'm talking about like change on this level, it's change in the way of life. When something really, really big, really, really dramatic happened. You can take a look at the call of Abraham in Genesis, when God said, I will make a chosen people from your descendants. That's the start of what would eventually become the nation of Israel. There's a big moment of change when God led the Israelites out of Egypt. They had been in slavery and bondage for 400 years, and all of a sudden they're free. Huge change in their way of life, and a lot of them had trouble adjusting to that. Big change. Israel, you read later on, Israel wants a king. They don't want to go on living life the way they've been living with different judges presiding over them. They want a king to look like the rest of the world. And God sets them up with a king. Their lives are changed dramatically. And then a big point of change is arrival of Christ. He shows up and he starts preaching salvation, and the words that he says and the things he's telling people are dramatically different from what people in the temples are saying. Now he's talking about God as an accessible father, and the kingdom of heaven going to the meek, and a lot of stuff that the people in power at that point weren't agreeing with, and that came into point of conflict. So there's a lot of stuff you can look back and see either how people reacted well to big moments of change or reacted poorly. In a lot of cases, guys don't react so well. One thing to kind of keep in mind when you're looking at these different things of these moments in change that I've talked about as stuff to kind of go back and examine of lifestyle changes, like changes in culture and how not just like an individual, but a people as a whole lived. When changes are prompted by God, there's a plan for that change. And the intention for this change is for the betterment of the people involved. So when Abraham was called by God and he set up the covenant with him, that was prompted by God. When the Israelites left Egypt, that was prompted by God. Christ's arrival on the earth, that was prompted by God. All these things had a plan and execution, and the end result was better than it was before the change happened. change that are prompted by man wanting to enact it usually will lead to bad results. So, you know, when Israel called for a king, that wasn't something that God mandated. That was something that the men of Israel wanted. They wanted to live life like other people of the earth. And so, you know, they were told, okay, if you get a king, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and you're not going to like it, and it's not going to be good. They said, we don't care, we want the king. And then all the prophetic stuff that was told to them about the king, you know, kind of taking what he wanted and pushing guys into service in the military and stuff, like all these things happened as a result. There was a lot of infighting that came through as a result of the country, and it eventually, you know, after Solomon, led to the continued kind of downfall of the nation of Israel at that time, to where they were conquered by outside forces, all because they wanted a king. So when the change is done by man, odds are it has a lot of risk involved. When it's prompted by God, there's a plan behind it. We may not necessarily understand it or see it, but something is there. So kind of taking that idea into account, life right now with dealing with coronavirus. So when something naturally happens, it's either prompted or allowed by God. Nothing happens outside of what is in God's will, because his will is sovereign. So everything that's happened up to now is within God's will. The big scope of it, we don't know. The overall purpose of it, we don't know. People have different theories and speculations as to what it all means, the overall purpose. But that's something that we'll see or try to understand as things unfold, as we look back through history. But for the time being, what do we do with it? Well, you want, if something's prompted by God, then he's put a plan and provision out to see it through to its execution. So what does that mean for you? It's going to be different stuff for different people, but you want to look at the personal connection to you in the middle of the circumstance. So where is it that you feel God is pulling you or leading you? What needs to be different in your life as a result? Because this change is happening. The way of life that we used to live, if it ever gets back to that, it's going to be a long time coming. So between now and then, maybe, what's in store for us? Okay, so let's look at a couple things. What exactly has changed? Well, there's been a lot of things. We're going to take a look at a few of them. We're not doing any big social gatherings anymore. So, you know, concerts and sporting events and or any kind of, you know, conventions or groups of large amounts of people, not happening at all. But the interesting thing is given the fact that these big gatherings are happening anymore, there still is a sense of a global community. I mean, you see this all the time in, you know, commercials and signs and ads and stuff of the saying of we're all in this together, and that's very much true. But it's still a community effort. Everybody has the same or similar circumstance, the same precaution, the same risk that they have to undertake. So there's a global community that's kind of being looked at from a different perspective. And even inside that, we're able to kind of focus more on personal relationships. Now, we may be separated by different levels of quarantine or staying at home and trying to make sure everybody's taking best care of their health. But with the tools that's afforded to us through technology, we're still able to maintain personal relationships through, you know, the internet and going online, going through Skype and Zoom, or even, you know, different messenger programs to keep in touch with one another. And in some cases, it's reaching out to relationships that you may have been too busy to give the time and attention that you wanted to begin with. You're able to go back and reach out to people that you haven't talked to or seen in a while and build that back up, or reach out to new people that you haven't met before. So social interaction has changed, and the focus is shifted. There's also a greater focus on personal health. I mean, we've all kind of been given a crash course on, you know, how viruses work and best ways to prevent, you know, exposure, or you know, the proper way to wash hands and just general you know, diet and exercise, and making sure we're trying to live more healthily. But it's not just our own health, it's how our health and our activity also reflects the health of others. Using COVID-19 as an example, certain, you know, people of age groups are more susceptible to the effects of COVID-19 than others, or others that have different kind of pre-existing conditions that make them susceptible to it. They're the ones that are more at risk. But those people who are in those groups, if they're still exposed, they still could potentially endanger someone who is in the greater health risk groups. So it's where we're more aware of, it's not just how things affect us personally, but how the actions or inaction of things that we do, how that affects somebody else. And it's not just, you know, someone might get sick. Like, if it's they get sick, they get really, really bad sick, and it could be fatal. So it's a greater awareness of how we interact with one another. Another element of change involves our areas of entertainment, like, you know, movies, TV, and sports. Most of that stuff has come down to a grinding halt. You know, a lot of TV movie production isn't happening anymore, so no new content's coming out. Any kind of sporting event has been canceled or put on hold until some point in the future. We don't know anything about when that stuff's going to get back, and if it does get back, what that even looks like. So a lot of people put their levels of entertainment really, really high in their priority list. So what's changed now that these things aren't around like they used to be anymore? Some have tried doing different versions of, you know, making things at home. A lot of people are still going to streaming services, but, you know, the new content and the new, you know, movie releases and going out and going to sporting events, you know, cheering for your team, a lot of things that people look forward to as one of the pinnacle moments of their year, this stuff isn't around right now. So in the absence of that, what are they filling it with? If you're missing that something out of your life that's kind of created a void, did you make something like an element of entertainment almost an idol that you put more time and attention with than your family, than some friendships that you neglected? Did you put more time and attention on that over maybe prayer time or study time with God? Sometimes these things are removed because we're not able to remove it ourselves. Another big point going on right now with coronavirus and COVID-19 is how our economy is affected. Our incomes are disrupted. However, to what extent you may have been affected by it, how did you find your priorities shifted? Did something change in how you spent your time and attention and what money you had at your resources? What did you find that you sacrificed? What did you go without? The things that you went without, did you find that you really missed it? Or was it just something that you did or spent money on just because it was convenient, or something you just kind of enjoyed doing but wasn't that important to you? Did you find help from unusual places? Or were maybe you were in the position to help somebody else that you, it was a contact or relationship or something that you wouldn't have reached out to begin with? All this stuff kind of comes with your focus and what you've really find out are your priorities. when your way of life is shaken like that, it's easy to kind of see where, who you are. It's kind of like the framework of what your real response is. It says in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So, in a time where it's easy to be anxious or worried or stressed, this says you don't have to be anxious, but just go to God in prayer, and He'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace you'll get when maybe you don't know how ends are going to meet. Maybe you don't know the end result of what happens with your job, when you'll go back, if it'll even be there, when a business opens, or the end result. When you don't tangibly know how something's going to work out, you can still get a peace that goes past that. To trust that the end result is already taken care of and provided for. Psalm 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of salvation, my stronghold." Like I said, anything that's prompted or allowed by God, there's a plan and an execution that's coming through. It's just we're not privy to the whole thing. So trusting in that is a challenge, especially when we feel like we're responsible for providing for something. But it gives us an opportunity to exercise and build that faith. As men, we like routine. We like what we can plan and depend on. Our reactions and our precautions done in response of COVID-19 has really just changed our lives in a big way. And we naturally want to resist it. We want to go back to the way things were. We want to go back to our lives before all this stuff was going on, where we really kind of didn't know what to make of it. But the problem is these changes aren't going anywhere. The rollout to life as we know it, it's going back very slowly. Hopefully the end result of the numbers go well and we're able to continue that trend. If it spikes again, it's going to change again. So these changes are going to be around for a while with how we live. So really the best we can do is try to understand them as best we can and make the best choices and reactions with what's being done in front of us at the moment, and go forward in that. Think about how best you can lead and be an example to others. How can you do the best with who you are and what you are, despite the fact that there are things that are just out of your control? How can you grow in your faith and practice trusting in God in what feels and looks like just straight uncertainty? The last thing that kind of encourages me in times like this is found as a verse I find in Hebrews 13:8. And it just says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." So despite what life looked like 6 months ago, despite what life looks like today, and despite what life will look like 3 months from now, whatever that is, none of this is a surprise to God. He's still the same. He knows the end result from once it started. And odds are, the end result will ultimately be for the best. We just have to get there and trust that it's going to get us through. Change can be hard. And a lot of times, extreme change like this isn't fun. We like being comfortable. We don't like being pushed to lose a few things, sacrifice things, but it's a good moment to take kind of self-examination of where your priorities are, and what do you want to make your priorities going forward. I'm not going to kid you. Change like this is hard to process. When precautions and restrictions were first being put into place, it was almost hard to accept as being real. It was more like something you'd find in a movie. Whether you were ready or not, the coronavirus made its way to everyone, and now we have to do what we can to protect ourselves and others. To do this, it'll require big changes in how we do our day-to-day. We have a guide in what that level of change is like for people in Scripture. We can either take their example and trust God and His plan, or we can cling to what once was and go kicking and screaming as it happens anyway, sometimes making things worse for ourselves. I hope it's the former. Please keep yourselves and your families healthy, and we'll see you next time.